Every All Saints Day, we have this little holiday beforehand of Halloween, which comes from All Saints Day. And during this time, many people like to watch scary movies. Anybody here watching scary movies in this kind of season, kind of fall season? Go ahead, you can be honest. Scary movie fans? So I see some reluctance around here. I'll tell you a secret. I don't like scary movies. Suspense is okay. Horror, not so much. I think if Hollywood invested a lot of the money they spend in horror movies into different genres, maybe about people overcoming other kinds of things, even holy people overcoming struggles, I think our culture might be better off for it. Which is why I'm very excited to see that there is a movie coming out on December 13th about Franz Jägerstätter. Jägerstätter. Yeah, you know, old Franz. Say that with me. Jägerstätter. Jägerstätter. This movie's coming out December 13th. It's called A Hidden Life. A Hidden Life. And it's written and directed by Terrence Malick. Now, Franz Jägerstätter was an Austrian peasant farmer. Same country my grandmother grew up in. And he grew up kind of a bit of a wild child, riding a motorcycle. There's a great photo of him riding a motorcycle, hair slicked back. Looks like he could be in Hell's Angels. He was a womanizer. He gave in to his lusts. He had a child out of wedlock as well. Later on, though, he married another woman named Franziska. And after their marriage for their honeymoon, they did a pilgrimage to Rome, where Pope Pius XI blessed them as newlyweds, as popes still do. And Franziska's love for her husband, Franz, really changed him. She had this really bright light burning within her, and the way she loved and served Franz, the way she prayed, the way she witnessed her faith to him, really began to change him and his whole outlook on life. So much so that he became the church sacristan, the mass coordinator, and he was going to mass every day. He was reading the lives of the saints, memorizing some of their stories, and even became a third order Franciscan, all in a short time, and mostly because of Franziska's influence. They had three children, Maria, Luisi, and Rossi, and Franz's first daughter from his previous relationship, Hildegard, was also very welcome in the house. She would come and be with them very often. But things were changing in Austria. This was the time of the rise of Nazism in Germany, and things were looking very dark on the horizon. And Germany had already invaded part of Austria. Franz did not like this, but of course these events in many ways seemed really far away. He came from a very small farming village and didn't always seem like it was impacting them right away. But Jägerstätter's own pastor had been jailed for delivering an anti-Nazi sermon. And his own bishop had dictated an anti-Nazi letter to be read in all the parishes several years earlier. And that same bishop would declare, "It is impossible to be both a good Catholic and a true Nazi." But later on, he was replaced with a different bishop who was more cautious and more sympathetic to the Nazis. Franz has a dream. It's a bit murky, but he has this dream of a train barreling through Germany and Austria, all kinds of people in it, going very fast, careening around, and he realizes in this dream that this is meant to symbolize the rise of National Socialism, of the Nazis. And in this dream, he hears the voice of God say mysteriously, God says about this train to Franz, "This train is going to hell." Now, when Austria had a chance to vote about whether they would be annexed into Germany, 96% of the country voted yes. And in his village, Franz was the only dissenting vote. Most people voted that way because they didn't want to lose their jobs. Franz voted against that. He was called up for military service 4 times, but it was deferred 4 times. But finally, at age 33, he was drafted for military service again, and this time he had to go. And he had to take the military oath, which was at that time called the Soldier's Oath or the Hitler Oath, because a soldier would no longer swear loyalty to the constitution of the country, but to Adolf Hitler, to the leader, personally. So Franz, he consulted his local pastor. He went to his pastor. He also went to the bishop, that new bishop, and he said, "What should I do? I want to serve faithfully, but I am torn about this." And both his pastor and this bishop encouraged him to really preserve his life, to take the oath, to respect the fatherland. But Franz couldn't do that. His conscience said otherwise. He knew this was something evil coming upon the country. It was hard because the prevailing mentality, which some of us, it's hard to appreciate this, but the prevailing mentality was, "Hey, Franz, you're just a peasant. You're a farmer. Do what your country asks you to do. Go and serve. Don't think about it. Go with the flow." And of course, many people said to him, "Well, when you take the oath, just take the oath, say the words, but you don't mean them. Say them even though you believe something different personally." He wouldn't have that. So he reported for duty at the military compound, but when he got there, he said, "I am not going to serve. I'm a conscientious objector, and I will not fight." So he was thrown into jail. In fact, he was in one of the same jails that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in when he was imprisoned and martyred by the Nazis. And in jail, we have some of his letters back and forth to his wife, Franziska. It's beautiful letters about his faith, about longing for her and for the children. And then in 1943, with his last words being, "I am completely bound in inner union with the Lord," he was killed by guillotine by the Nazis. Now, Franz Jägerstätter, he is a blessed. He's one step away from being a formal canonized saint. But he was a blessed. But think about what his time in that prison would have been like. He is a peasant farmer from a tiny Austrian village, and he knows he has heard the voice of God and he must act upon it. But can you imagine asking, is this actually going to matter? Like, he didn't know which way the war would go. He didn't know what would happen to his family. He had a family to take care of. Will this have any impact? Will this matter at all? Struggling with his conscience, struggling with the pain and suffering ahead of him, and yet what God has told him. I think for most of the saints, you know, today we celebrate all the unknown saints especially, in their lifetime, the saints don't necessarily see what's happening in front of them as, "God is making me a saint right now. God is sanctifying me. This is the story of God's glory in my life that will be sung for eternity." We often don't see it that way. But here's what God is doing as Franz is struggling. But lo and behold, his story basically faded out of existence for a long time. And after the war, Franziska and the family were very much shunned. Why? Because here's all these other peasant farmers. They sent their sons, they sent their husbands to fight for their country, patriotically. And hey, your husband refused. He was standing against us. Many years later, a man named Gordon Zahn from Loyola College was trying to learn more about this era and the people in it. He was a peace activist. He went to interview Franziska in Austria. And she was a bit shy. She told him a few stories, gave him a few papers, but a little reticent. And Gordon Zahn writes this book called In Solitary Witness, 1964. And a few years later, Daniel Ellsberg, who was part of publishing and releasing the Pentagon Papers that detailed the things happening behind the Vietnam War, the way the government was operating, the power players, some of the atrocities happening on the battlefield. The Pentagon Papers were released, and Daniel Ellsberg, he risked it all making this choice. And when he was once asked, "Why'd you do it? Why'd you do this? Risking your entire career and possibly a lifelong prison sentence," which he was never convicted of, "but why'd you do it?" He said, "I was inspired by Franz Jägerstätter." And nobody knew who he was. Hardly anybody knew. And then his son, Daniel Ellsberg's son, wrote a book called called All Saints, and Franz is one of these people featured in it. Who knows what Franz was thinking in that prison? And who knows how many Franz Jägerstatters are in heaven right now, who in their lifetime were not sure, what will come of this? Will this matter? Will anyone know? And yet they heard the voice of God, and they chose to live by it. That is sanctity. That is holiness. That is something all of us are called to do. The saints, unknown and known, witnessed to this with their lives. And when Franz was beatified in 2007 by Pope Benedict in Austria, his three grandchildren were there, and so was Franziska. She was 94. When she was introduced there at the Mass, just in the beginning, she got a standing ovation from the people. Because now his story was known, his holiness was known. Franz's decision didn't come out of nowhere. He was strengthened by receiving the body and blood of Christ. He began to know the lives of the saints. He tried to live a holy marriage. God was fortifying him for this amazing choice that he would give him, and none other. All of us have choices to make in this life. All of us are bound by our conscience. And whether through dreams or other people or the things we read, the conversations we have, all of us can hear the voice of God speaking to us. We are called to be holy saints of every race, every nation, every people, every tongue. All of us, brothers and sisters, are called to be holy, called to be lovers of God, called to immerse this world in the glory of Christ, even in prison, even under pain of death. May Franz pray for us today, that we might have the grace to answer that call of God as we hear it in our lives. Bound by our conscience, bound to act in the hands of Christ at all times, who has conquered death and the grave. As we gather around this altar with all the holy ones today, let us live out God's call for each of us. Let us be saints.